Hello, and welcome to, what are we calling this now? The Kenobi Report? Kenobi, I don't know.
Kenobi Chat.
Kenobi Talk.
Kenobi Crew? Kenobi.
Tweet at us and let us know what your favorite one of these is. Welcome to Through Imperial Eyes. We're here to talk about Kenobi's episodes 3 and 4. I'm your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
And I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Jackson, what is your name again?
I just told you.
Oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Gotcha.
I should have made my thing. Do we release these videos?
No.
Okay, cool. I was like, I should have made my name tag, Obi-Wan. No, I'm Jackson Deline.
Yeah, you're Jackson Deline. Well, welcome. And we're finally here to talk about episodes 3 and 4. Super excited to finally get into these. It'll be a couple weeks before we talk about episode 5 and obviously the finale. But I guess we can just kind of get into it. And let's get into episode 3. Before we get into the details of it all, give me some of your overall thoughts on episode 3 and how you responded to it.
This has been my favorite episode. Including with 4, this has been my favorite. It's funny. This has this was the first episode my girlfriend watched, and she has only talked about this episode.
Yeah.
It was really good. I'm trying to think of the things outside of the obvious cool scenes. I like how it started with Vader. I'm trying to recollect the episode, but I like that it started with Vader.
It kind of starts out with Obi-Wan meditating for Qui-Gon after after learning about Anakin
sitting on the ship. I forgot about that.
I think that this one was also, so far, it's been my favorite episode for obvious reasons, but also I think we learn a lot about some characters, and it really gets kind of deep into, callbacks to things that's happened before, and we're in a different part of the galaxy than we've ever been. I thought this episode was just one, really entertaining, but also really interesting. It also had some really cool, really good themes of lost hope and regret and that kind of thing.
Yes. I really liked the Mapuzo just look. I like that it was just California.
Yeah, you can tell they went out to a desert and
some
shot
kind
for
of place.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah. I did really, I enjoyed the conversations Leia and Obi-Wan have in this episode a lot. I think this one really kind of strengthened their bond together, and just Leia being smart enough to figure out that Obi-Wan knew Padme and knew that, when she said my father, when they're sitting on the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really awesome. I see it on Twitter a lot, but the shot of Anakin in the robe, in the distance, first saw that, gave me chills. I was just ooh. And I think, hot take, I don't think they're going to do flashbacks.
Yeah. I think we're too far beyond that point.
I think it will appear as a battle damaged Vader, but also and he will kind of have a moment where he kind of sees Anakin too.
Gotcha.
And it's just kind of a figment of his imagination, anyway, but
you think so? I think personally, I don't think we're getting Qui-Gon, if we do get him, until episode 6.
Oh, really? You think I think he'll show up next. I think next week. I think if anything, I guess that will be the obvious, but I think next week.
Okay. We can kind of go through just the big beats of this episode and kind of talk about things that
happened. I haven't pulled up. I'm just kind of looking through it.
So let's kind of talk about our first time in, not really our first time in Vader's Castle, but really getting to see what it's like to his be Vader
throne room and
in his throne room and all that kind of stuff.
I thought it was interesting at how they put the helmet on, at how like every interaction has been kind of the back piece coming off and then the like front, but it was like those were connected, just kind of top going on top. No, it's a really cool.
I do like to imagine him like ordering his DoorDash from his throne room spot. You know,
thank you for calling Mustafar Wendy's.
I'd like a Baconator, please.
Do you guys still have those spicy nuggets?
How late do you serve your breakfast?
Lord Vader, we make anything for you because you're the only one who lives on this planet.
Yeah,
very well.
But all jokes aside, yeah, I thought it was really cool to see that kind of throne room and him talking to Reva about, you know, she's like, "Oh, Kenobi killed the Grand Inquisitor." He's like, "I don't care.
Yeah.
I care about Kenobi. Why don't you have Kenobi yet?"
So let me ask you too, is because he knows that Reva's trying to get Grand Inquisitor position, but do you think there's more to it?
I think they have some kind of background. Something's going on. She has to prove to him something that we don't yet quite know about.
Hot take. Do you think Reva will die next episode? Or do you think she'll make it to the finale?
I think if she does die, it'll be in the finale and she'll be redeemed before she dies.
Yes, I agree that she'll be redeemed before she dies.
Yeah.
Do you think it will be Vader or the Grand Inquisitor who kills her?
That would be kind of cool if the Grand Inquisitor like comes back.
I think so too. Yeah.
Is the one to do it. But you know, at this point, I'm glad that we are, unlike some people, I'm glad we're really getting to know Reva, especially going on to episode 4 and stuff. Kind of getting to know more of her motivation, a little bit. But then we kind of, we have this little conversation between Leia and Kenobi that I thought was really like just kind of fun, where she's asking about like, what does the Force feel like? Like, what is the Force?
He describes
it as like turning on the light when you're in the dark. And I was like, wow, that's a wonderful description.
I just have this playing and you literally like, I'm on the scene as like, you brought it up. Yes, this is a really nice one. Oh, and he has Lola. He has the droid. And
speaking of Lola, I just learned like 2 days ago that Carrie Fisher had a bird named Lola. And that makes it so much more deep and meaningful. Love that.
Yeah, it's a very pure moment. And just watching it, like Obi-Wan's like he drifts off just kind of thinking about, and like there's just that constant sadness to it, you know, which honestly, I think it's really interesting seeing this and seeing how like broken this Obi-Wan is.
Right.
Knowing that like he always stays to the light. Like, I think that's really awesome. Like seeing all of this and seeing the hardships that he really endured and what he really was like during this time and knowing what he'll end up being like in A New Hope, you know?
Yeah. And I just think the fact that he is calling out to Qui-Gon and, you know, going out of his way to
try to connect,
save Leia and try to connect to Leia, you know, that he hasn't lost that spark of Jedi knighthood.
Yeah.
You know, and you definitely see it just in Ewan McGregor's performance as well. But then we land on Mapuzo, and he kind of explains that like it's like this mining system that used to have like all these towns and villages.
Yeah,
and
it used to be like really
taken over by the Empire, and it's now kind of just like a wasteland. I'm wondering if there's any other kind of significance to Mapuzo, because I thought whenever he was talking about the Mapuzo thing, I thought we were going to get a Clone Wars flashback. We did.
That would have been interesting. That would have been cool.
Yeah. That would have been a really good opportunity for that. But.
And well, you know what? I think we did kind of get a moment like that with Anakin in the robe watching, you know, and it was just that it's more of him being haunted by it, but it's like, yeah, he's talking about it now. There were fields and families. This is
he delivers that like he's remembering something.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I'm just kind of watching this, but yeah, I we got to talk about what's his name? Freck?
Dude, I love Freck. That's Zach Braff.
Oh, yeah, I knew that too. Hayden just showed up. God, honestly, this moment, like, I was like, whoa. I was like, that's just like so surreal seeing that, you know, of like just like seeing Hayden's face again. And like, I really hope we get like a good look at him, you know, like I really hope we get like a.
You don't bring Hayden Christensen himself back to be in that one shot.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I hope he gets more like that, that like he starts kind of getting haunted by it, you know?
I am thinking that possibly the big, this is just pure speculation, but that the big kind of like final battle duel between Kenobi and Vader, Vader will have his helmet off.
Oh, that'd be really cool if it's like a full, honestly, like, knowing how like their interaction goes in this episode, like that's something Vader I think would do like specifically, rather than it being like he's battle damaged, you know,
yeah,
is like taking it off like to mess with Kenobi, because he knows the idea,
like, look what you did to me.
The idea of him being alive haunts Kenobi, and he knows that that fear is like to his ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking, because I'm like,
I dig that. That'd be really cool.
Like, you don't announce Hayden as part of the cast if we've only seen him physically in one shot so
where
far.
Where do you think the final battle will happen? Because the concept art isn't what we've seen so far.
There's concept art that looks like Mustafar of them.
Yeah,
dueling.
It does give off that vibe. I wonder if he pulls up to Vader's castle. Do you really think they'll fight on Mustafar again?
That would be insane if they did.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. That the only three fights that they have, two of them are on the same planet.
Mm-hmm. And the other is just
like some station. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about Freck and that little ride they had on Freck's truck.
Yeah, the Empire might be a little rough, but we do need order. I was like, all right, Freck, just say you're right. Racist.
Yeah. I thought it was really fun. We get this little intimate conversation between Leia and Kenobi again. And he's talking about how he doesn't really remember his family because the Jedi Order took him very young.
But him talking about the brother.
He has a brother.
Hit me to my core. Like, just like knowing that and being like, whoa. And honestly, it really made me interested in the Padawan book. Is I wonder if they'll bring up stuff like that in the Padawan book.
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know. I think I really want just like a Kenobi origin story of like his family and stuff. Because like you never hear about that.
Yeah.
You never hear about that kind of stuff.
I think that's kind of the thing though, is that like he is a standard byproduct of the Jedi Order. You know, it's like he is just like everybody else that I think I don't know, because I think like, you know, I listened to Dooku Jedi Lost, and it explores that a lot about his life. I never noticed there's a trooper that sits right next to him. That stressed me out so much. I'm on the scene with Freck where those troopers come out, which is a great scene, actually. I really appreciated
the way Leia is able to like lie on the fly,
talk out of her way of it, which, you know, I'm glad that like that's a skill Leia always had. Right. I really like seeing new Star Wars, the look at the change in different like stormtroopers is seeing dirty and scuffed up stormtroopers. Finishing my thought is that like, I think seeing Obi-Wan's life before is that it's so minimal that like he only knows the Jedi Order. That's right, only to tell is that if you want to know more, it's probably just a quick fact rather than like a whole story, you know?
Right.
That being said, I know the actually I think it's the comic I own, so maybe I should read it. I haven't read it yet. But I think it explores a young Obi-Wan. It's all about him like remembering, he's on like Tatooine, he starts remembering like his youngin days as a Padawan.
For all of our High Republic fans, I would very much compare Obi-Wan to like Stellan Geos, yes, as being like the poster child of the Jedi, and you know, he's kind of like the one Jedi everybody kind of
models themselves after.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And Obi-Wan really is that, and I think that's kind of the big like thing about his character, is that he endured most of his life such terrible hardships that like you really do give him props for staying faithful, is that even if he did struggle with it, he stayed faithful, you know?
Right.
And he really believed in what was right and what he felt could be the Jedi way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what this show is also exploring, is that even when beaten up and down, he has to kind of reteach himself, but he knows that he can do it.
Yeah. I feel like in this show specifically, he also is struggling with it. I think this is mostly because of Ewan's performance as well, but he's kind of struggling with like the should I have been a Jedi?
Yeah.
Like you know, it kind of feels like that. Like,
I think this is the first time in his life that he's really had to like question that, especially right, with it being 10 years since everything's happened. He's probably just so shaken up that he's still dealing with the trauma of it, that now is really the first time that he's been forced to kind of reflect. And he's given circumstances like being with Leia and knowing Anakin is alive alone, but like his past is being brought up in itself, that it's like it's forcing him to kind of consider it all, that
and after like 10 years of laying low, like all this stuff being thrown at him at once too. Well,
and to not alone just think on it, but to be in situations that you're forced to act on it, mm-hmm, that like it's like you're fighting for your past, but you're also fighting against your past.
Exactly.
Which is a fun theme to explore within this. I'm on the scene where the probe droids are like pulling up, mm-hmm, and they pull them out of the scene. This is a cool action scene. I like seeing Obi-Wan not use his lightsaber just yet.
He's pretty good with a blaster.
He is pretty good with the blaster, which I think has always been common knowledge, is that's kind of the thing, is he's the pilot who doesn't like flying. He's the marksman who doesn't like shooting, you know?
Uh-huh.
This scene's hardcore, though, with the dude who gets split in half.
Yeah, it's rough.
Wild take, but this is the goriest I've ever seen Star Wars.
Yeah, it gets pretty gnarly. I really love the... It's very predictable, but the twist we get with Tala coming in.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, here's Indira Varma's character. Let's see what she's got. I was like, oh, wait, she's going to be a good guy.
Yeah.
I really loved that twist,
which was really cool. It's really, I like seeing Obi-Wan get involved with the rebellion outside of Bail, different cells. And I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, that's kind of how a rebellion starts anyway, is like these pockets of rebellion throughout the galaxy.
I hope we see more of the path and kind of that ideal of like a route for people to, you know, get through and avoid the Empire. And I'll finish my thought, but the droid, the loader droid, I think it's called Ned 8 or whatever, loved him. I want a black series of him.
Yeah.
But the actual hut that they're inside, some of the Aurabesh is translated to Quinlan was here, Quinlan Voss.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. And I think that'd be a cool, like, a book of be like, what happened to Quinlan Voss? Like, he obviously survived 66. Like,
it also just, it was really cool to see Obi-Wan be like, Quinlan was here. Like, he refers to him by his first name, and
yeah,
you can like tell they actually have a past, which I think is something that you don't really get from the prequels themselves, like connecting to the animation.
Because obviously, I didn't actually know that he said that Quinlan was here. I thought that was just kind of a.
Oh, no, he says that. He says,
I just Quinlan saw, was here. I didn't see that. But then that prompts her to say, you're not the only Jedi.
Yeah, right. It's good to know that at this point, you know, Quinlan's out there helping younglings.
He's still doing, yeah.
Love that.
I really like what Tala says to Leia about, like, you'd be good in the fight one day. And I think it's kind of an interesting theme to, like, promote, is that, like, you don't necessarily want to, like, have to inspire a child to fight, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's kind of a harsh thing to throw into a kid, but it's like, but this is the kid that, like, you know, or at least this is the time to be saying that stuff, which, like, I think for me, it really shows Leia's, like, roots of the rebellion, is that it wasn't just Bail who did it, is that she really saw, like, what the Empire was like. It wasn't just the politics of it. I think that if Leia didn't have a moment like this or really know what the Empire was about, she would not be as involved in the rebellion that she was. I think she would kind of be more of a senatorial aspect of it and kind of be more of like a Mon Mothma until Mon Mothma really stepped it in, you know? Which I thought was really cool. I like seeing this. I like seeing this, especially when Leia's young, is that, like, she may not understand it, but when she does, she'll fully understand it. And that's so true with just how she is in A New Hope. And
because we have this line from Brea in the first episode where, you know, Leia's like, "But I don't like doing this kind of stuff because all I do is wave."
Yeah.
And then Brea's like, "Well, then do something."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really telling of how she takes that advice from her mother, not just that moment, but probably growing up, takes that advice to heart and like really like encapsulates that.
Goes with it. Yeah.
So let's talk about Vader's arrival.
This is the scene that got Puzo. My girlfriend was like, once this was happening, I looked over and she was like glued, was like watching it.
Yeah. Well, I was the whole time I was like, No, this can't be happening. Not yet.
I think it's really cool seeing Vader in, like, settings like this, where it's just some village, ruthless. But it's just like this giant metallic, like, metal, like, dude just pulls up in this cape and this helmet and
just starts slaughtering
and
all people.
Black. Yeah. Snapping the kid's neck, but leaving the dad alive and just dragging the person behind him. Like,
insane.
Ruthless.
This is the Vader that we hear about, but we never really see.
I will make this point again when we talk about it in the next episode, but Hayden's physical acting as Vader in this is so distinctive itself.
I don't think a lot of this is Hayden.
I read every shot that is from the waist up is Hayden.
Really?
Most of the full bodies are stunt doubles because the full bodies are him doing stuff. The voice is the re-speecher that they did with Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Yep. Which I think is really prevalent in the next episode, but it completely fooled me in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I just think Hayden's, like, there's just this, like, aggressive tenacity to it. And there is just this, he just killed the kid. Like, what a wild scene. Like I said, this is the most gory I've seen Star Wars.
It's intense. Like, this show is not for kids.
No, this show is not for kids. But he just carries this. There is this. Remember what he said about, like, there is just kind of this aggressive nature to him, is that mm-hmm. this is a Vader still learning. I think these next two episodes will really see that. Like I said, remember how I said about, like, Vader's got to mess up. Vader has to make that line in A New Hope really make sense. I think in this, if they don't, it makes Vader too cool. It makes Vader not really seem like there's a fault to him and kind of gives him this Empire Strikes Back master sense of it.
He definitely has to lose at some point in the series.
It can't just be Obi-Wan got away. There needs to be something about it. There needs to be a full-on thing that happens. And I think it's interesting that this Vader suit, he can move his head. Like, he doesn't have to, the 89 Batman it. But He just carries this in the next episode. It really does it when he first like picks Reva up, and the way he moves his body is it's just like it's not something Vader in Empire Strikes Back would do. You know, he's much more subtle and simple. And yes, exactly. And I think that's interesting is that he's a young Vader, but he's still 10 years into it.
Yeah.
You know, like he's a full decade of being like this. Is that like there's still moments about it. I think Hayden understood that for sure from the very beginning. So I'm really interested. To see what the rest will be like.
It's also another thing of why he's like that is because you kind of learn about in Lords of the Sith about how it actually is really painful to wear that suit.
Oh, for sure. Oh, and I completely believe it.
That's probably why all of his movements are so like minute and precise, because like he's literally in physical pain
like has
anytime
to,
he moves.
Has to think it out. That makes sense.
So, what did you think about, so obviously Kenobi decides to sacrifice himself and not really sacrifice, but like lets Leia go while he goes and deals with Vader and confronts Vader. And this was like the moment we've all been waiting for.
The first shot when he ignites his lightsaber is one of the coolest shots in this show. And it's the, you cannot hide Obi-Wan.
I love the line, look what you've become. And Vader says, look what you made me.
I am what you made me.
What you made me. Yeah.
Coolest line in this too.
So good.
And like, I appreciate this fight being what it is because like seeing Vader have the upper hand, but knowing that his master can still defend himself is like, he knows Vader won't underestimate him this time. You know, it's
right.
And I think it's interesting is that Vader really does have the upper hand on Obi-Wan this time, but Vader wants him to suffer. Vader wants this. Vader's in the mall complex right now where he doesn't want to kill Kenobi. He really wants him to hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the slip up is that he keeps trying to take Kenobi alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows next time I'm just going to kill you, bro.
Yeah. What did you think? So I thought using this new lightsaber technology, it was something I wasn't really used to.
What is the new technology?
It's essentially what they did in like the sequel trilogy with the glowing kind of Disney Galaxy's Edge style sabers.
Yeah, and then they just CG'd over it.
They're just super bright. They're like they're way more bright than we're used to, like especially seeing like the prequels, because you know how they don't have like a practical glow on them in the prequels. I think seeing Ewan and Vader fighting with that kind of light, it like caught me off guard a little bit. I got used to it really quickly, but it was just like, huh, so that's what a lightsaber would look like if it was real, you know?
Yes, and I think that I'm a big supporter of it. I remember seeing it and I really like the glow in this. I'm like, I want, you know, but yeah. And I think what you're saying is that while they wanted this effect, what they did is kind of what ended up being the like canon thing, you know?
Right.
And now that we have that power, that we're seeing that potential, like this is what George wanted for that Anakin Dooku fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it was 2002 then, so we couldn't have done it then. It's like, honestly, remake the special editions. Like, I think now is the time to remake the special editions. 1997 was not it, dude.
But you don't know that when you're in 1997.
Exactly.
But, dude, that moment where Vader just takes like this, it's like some kind of piece of machinery with the Force, throws it to the ground, flames go up everywhere, and he starts literally dragging Kenobi through the flames. I was in awe. I did not speak the rest of the episode.
And the line, "Your pain has only begun."
So absolutely vicious.
This lightsaber fight's really cool too, because Vader does the whole thing with one hand.
Yeah.
And the other one, he pushes him back with the Force. All of the lightsaber combat,
it's very reminiscent of the Empire Strikes Back fight with Luke.
Yes. Or he says, "Now you will suffer, Obi-Wan."
Yeah.
And it's really, he like knocks over the thing and knocks all the stuff down. And then he lights it with his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
How did you react to that moment of him just straight up dragging him?
I think like watching it happen, I was just like, whoa, like this is a big deal. Like this is a huge moment of like, it almost was like surreal that like, I was like, it feels like, can you see the flames?
Yeah.
It was like, I was worried. And I was like, he's going to kill him. Be like, no, he can't. Like, obviously he can't. Like, that's for sure. But it's like knowing that Vader just dragged him through the fire and tortured him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. And I, watching this, I'm starting to kind of understand how I think Vader will slip up, is that he wants Kenobi alive so he can torture him. And Kenobi's going to end up kind of besting him because of that, which is also like kind of the same thing that got him caught in, or not got him caught, but got like, was the trouble with Empire, was that he wanted them alive, you know?
Well, I think I know what's going to happen. I think Kenobi's going to go undercover as his DoorDash driver. And he's going to be
hello,
like,
hello, sir. I'm your new DoorDash driver from your Mustafar Wendy's.
No, it's going to be he shows up outside of Vader's castle. Okay. And on the way up the steps, he falls and he's like, call an ambulance. Vader comes up, and Kenobi says, but not for me. And then takes his lightsaber out.
Yeah. He just ganks him. He just shoots him in the chest. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
In other news, local Lord Vader shot in front of his home. And DoorDash driver
Mustafar Wendy's just has made a statement. We do not condone the actions committed by our driver today from Mustafar Wendy's.
And the photo on the newspaper article is the mugshot of Kenobi, but he's wearing a fake mustache over his mustache.
They have like a Photoshop gun in the picture. Like,
yeah. And he's wearing like the Mustafar Wendy's hat.
Yeah. Can we make merch for Mustafar Wendy's?
Oh my god. I think we might need to. We can't call it Wendy's though, because we'll get sued. But we'll workshop it.
Mustafardies?
Mustafardies? It's like Arby's.
Mustafardies. Ooh, that good.
Might be good. Mustafar Hardies? Mustafardies?
Mustafardies? Mustafardies so nuts, bad. Bro.
Okay.
All right. Well, this episode ends with Leia getting captured by Reva because tunnels work. And
because tunnels.
Because tunnels. And we move on to the next.
Yeah. Episode 4. This is a pretty controversial episode within the whole Star Wars fandom because a lot of people just like didn't like it. I'm not one of those people.
I had fun with this episode.
Yeah. It kind of opens on this Bacta bath soaking, and we get this really cool juxtaposition with Vader also in the Bacta tank. So we get this really cool, like these quick cuts. And I thought for a second that we were going to get a little back flashback. And
I think it's interesting that they redid the scene that we just saw in the last episode when you could have used at least the episode 3 moments, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, speaking about this episode overall, I noticed this whole mission on this episode was essentially Obi-Wan's trial run for A New Hope, for what's going to happen in A New Hope.
Exactly.
We got Leia captured with the Inquisitors. He's got to go save her. She called for his help. And, you know, it's Obi-Wan sneaking around Fortress Inquisitorius. It's really cool. Gets into some scuffles, you know, has to sneak out in that horrible disguise, which we'll talk about later. we'll talk about
You mean good old Captain Lumphimp
trying to sneak into a movie. Yeah. Rated R movie.
Yeah, literally.
In the really early in this episode, we finally get to meet O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s character. Rokan is so awesome.
I would think like really cool spinoff, like Tala and Rokan series like a book or something. Yeah.
I need more Rokan.
Loved it. I loved how
we need Rokan in Jedi Fallen Order.
That'd be cool.
Jedi Survivor. Yeah.
But like, I like seeing other Rebel cells. I like knowing that. I think that was the thing with Rebels for me, was that knowing that there were other Rebel cells and that A New Hope is really the first time that, or Rogue One's really the first time that they're all like together.
They finally have their own base.
Yes. And while we see that in Rebels, they're like just moving into Yavin, and it's like, there's still cells out there, and it's like, how many cells? And I like seeing that it was kind of everywhere. Is that really it was? Everybody was.
There was spark of rebellion everywhere.
And that's kind of the thing the Empire pushed, was to make you think that it wasn't a lot of people. It was just this band of rebels who got away. And then they blew up the Death Star, and you were like, oh.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh.
And that was just like one little faction in the galaxy that did that. Like, that's so cool to think.
I want to go back into Rise of Skywalker and see if Roken's ship is there.
Ooh.
Which, yeah. You know, maybe just like that design and that style, which I thought was really cool.
I doubt it, but I think that would be cool.
There's a lot of ships.
Like if they pulled one of those ships for Roken's ship, that'd be cool. But Roken would be like 80 the time Rise of Skywalker happens.
yeah, right.
But he has this really cool, there's a lot of really good dialogue in this whole show, like great dialogue. Yeah. But Obi-Wan's like, dude, I need your help. And he says, so does like, every kid making a rock float from here to Coruscant.
Yeah.
Like, dang, that's a statement.
And the, you don't know what the Empire is capable of. And it was like, I had a wife, and it was like, we knew what she was. And it wasn't until the Inquisitors found us.
And he calls him general too.
Uh-huh. And he offhandedly does it. I know that one really got me. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then we got Kenobi in his like OG Jedi outfit. I was like, this is so cool.
I love the new Kenobi look. Like this, they will make Black Series from this outfit of the gray with the white under. Fantastic. Oh, brilliant. The shots of we'll talk about it later, but the hallway scene when he's fighting the stormtroopers with the lightsaber and he does the little pose.
So good.
I keep seeing that picture on Instagram or on Twitter, and I'm just like, that's it, bro. Like that was what you that's the marketing outfit right there. Like you did that on purpose.
And then kind of following the parallels with A New Hope, they get around this hollow table and look at the blueprints.
I know, like they're all talking about the plan and like, here's the big base. And
and it's like, is there shields around it? How do we get in there? Like all that kind of fun stuff. And then we get back to, we really get to see Fortress Inquisitorius like in depth. I also noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, but the way Kenobi enters, like sneaks through like by swimming in to the Fortress Inquisitorius.
Same
way that Cal Kestis does in Fallen Order.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of a cool connection to be made.
This is kind of off topic, but I like seeing Reva and Leia's like mind battle. And I like knowing Reva got bested by a 10-year-old.
Oh, she Kylo Ren'd.
She totally. Well, and Leia like, Are we having a staring contest?
Right. Yeah. It's so Leia too. Go ahead.
I don't know. I feel like this was a good episode, but it very much was a very standard episode.
I don't like to use the word filler because this wasn't filler.
This wasn't filler.
This was
very much a
bridge episode to get to the latter half of the season.
But this was, it followed pretty much the standard like Star Wars rescue trope. Like,
sure. Yeah. Like an episode of Rebels.
I bet you. Yeah, exactly. And I was going to say, I bet you I could find this in every single medium of Star Wars that there is an episode like this. That doesn't mean that this episode isn't fun as hell.
No, it's fantastic.
Like it is great. I like seeing Tala worker her way around and tricking officers into getting through, and the whole scene of her like
slapping around those stormtroopers,
stalling for Kenobi with Reva, and I thought was really interesting. And I just like seeing Kenobi like on his own and kind of working around in a place like this. I bet you this is Kenobi's real first time like in a deep Imperial base. Like this is literally the last place.
Is what I imagine whenever people talk about Kenobi getting off planet. I imagine him like in some Imperial base, like sneaking around.
Well, I think it's funny is that if he was ever caught, this is where he would be taken.
Right.
And it's funny that he came here on his own.
I just wanted to point out that Vader was able to straight up weaken Kenobi's force powers by dragging him through that fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he like could barely make that little thing move on the transport.
He wasn't healed all the way. He left left the back to early. So I wonder if he will go back at all, if he'll let himself heal all the way, or if he will be like, no, we have to go.
And then, you know, Talos kind of saying like, don't worry, it's going to pass. You're going to get over it soon. He's like, some things can't be forgotten. Uh-huh. And this is one of those things. I thought that was really a really powerful moment of him just being like, you literally don't get it. Like, but we learn that the paths exist during the Reva interrogation. Do you think there will be more built upon with the explanation of the paths?
I would like it. I think that would be something interesting to explore in Jedi Survivor. Is that they find a path and they're like, maybe it'll lead us to more Jedi.
Mm, be fun.
But yeah, I hope we see more. I enjoyed seeing it as a sense of world building of knowing that this was happening, because prior to this was the knowledge that essentially everybody really was on their own. And I like knowing that the rebellion was pretty well endowed with Jedi, that it doesn't make Luke Skywalker feel such a singularity. He's just kind of the newest one. He was the first to come and be and make himself a Jedi post the Empire and post this world changing or this galaxy changing, whereas everyone else has really was suffering and was you know, dealing with the trauma of what came. And it's the idea that Luke is the sense of hope to see what can come from, is that even after all of this, good can still prevail and show itself and build and manifest itself on its own, rather than a lost hope refinding itself, which I think is kind of the theme of Obi-Wan in this, is that he understands the weight of both, that he has to use his lost hope to come back and make sure that the new hope is saved. But, you know, that's always been his thing.
And he's really struggling with the entire concept of hope. And what does that mean?
Is it worth it, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, I think one of the big complaints that a lot of people have are, well, I don't know about complaints, but like, I don't think people would have as many problems with some of the things that happened in this episode and show if you just simply engaged with the themes of the show.
Yeah.
A lot of this would be cut through a lot better.
I think that's a thing a lot of people expected from this show, was it to be cool action stuff. And it was like, no, we knew from the very beginning this was character time. Like,
want a story, or do you want cool fireworks, or do you want cool cameos?
I know we're getting cool action sequences, but I want to see the growth of everybody. Yeah. Let's talk about that tomb scene.
Yeah, man. RIP Terrace Anube. That got me. I was like, that's not who I think it is, right?
Was one of them Depa Balaba?
I don't know.
The first one that like zoomed in on her face looks like her.
I couldn't tell.
And I couldn't tell.
A lot of people were saying that they saw Mace Windu in there too. I was like, no.
I didn't see Mace, but
that youngling was heartbreaking too.
I like seeing the youngling one was really rough and like still in the outfit. And so my question with that is that the stuff that they did with, like, remember in Rebels when they use what was her name? She was the master of Luminara. She wasn't the master. Her name is Luminara. Is that the same concept of what they did with Luminara, where they used kind of her husk to emanate like a force kind of feeling?
I don't know.
That it's just, they just keep these dead Jedi here.
I have a feeling it's just like a Jedi Inquisitor trophy room.
Uh-huh. I think it's kind of like their pain and death that they had here. Yeah. They literally encapture it within their body and just keep it on display. And it just kind it's of like feels them.
Hashtag best kills of,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, literally.
Of 30 BBY.
Inquisitor or of the month gets their best kill showcased on the main floor. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I think, to me, it is very much like a, you know, best catch of the day kind of thing. Because it does feel very trophy room like. Let's talk about the whole Leia getting the interrogation droid put on her and like being captured in this big red creepy room.
It made me think of the Fallen Order when like you first see Vader and it's just like, ooh, like this looks like that room.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool whenever he came to rescue, Obi-Wan came to rescue her.
I thought Vader was going to be there.
I thought so too.
But I really liked the shot of him disappearing in the dark. I like that they do that within this, that it kind of plays into that trope. They did it with Ahsoka too, is that like once her lightsaber was extinguished, they literally like CG'd her out. Yeah, that is a really cool shot. And I like his combat style in this. I like seeing like how Obi-Wan fights in this because it's different. It's not his graceful way, but it has like hints and remnants.
It is
of
really
it.
Rigid. Yeah. It's very, like he's blocking the blaster lasers. Yes,
it's like he kind of remembers how to do it all. It's just more of the idea that he's not used to. He's not used to holding it again.
It's been 10 years since he's dealt with it.
And
any
even
of this
in
kind
the
of
last
stuff.
Episode, when before he ignites it, he kind of fumbles with it in his hand. He's just like, it's like he's scared to use it. I'm skipping through this episode because it's all they get caught. The hallway scene in this is really cool.
And, yeah, let's talk about that.
We see purge troopers for the first time in this, and they're really cool. I like seeing them.
Which they last about 2 minutes.
Yeah, just the one that we see, but it is a cool. Oh, he just did the pose, the little wave he does, and he gets like back. Oh, love him. That's why
there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
That's why I have the lightsaber tattooed on me. No, it's really cool. The whole holding the water in and just containing the force
the
together.
The way that he was immediately able to turn on the force, like the way that he just like.
I think that's kind of the thing, is that he will end up using it more and more, that the force and his lightsaber, is that he will kind of, I bet you he gets his way. He kind of finds his way back. He connects with Qui-Gon. He goes fights Vader. And it's like, it's a full on like round two rematch. And it's like both are at their potential of where they are right now to have a full on fight.
Do you think, we'll kind of get to, we'll get to the future. Never mind. Let's get through the rest of this episode. And then I want to talk about something, but, speaking of Vader, we see him, kind of confront Reva, like, well,
you were warned.
You let him get away. I thought he was going to kill Reva for a second.
I thought he was too. And I think that scene alone is where the re-speecher really struggles. It just the way he speaks is that like, it's cool for intimidation, but it sounds like different clips put together. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the AI really struggled with that one to try and like put the words that they had.
Yeah. I can't say that it really stuck out to me that it was that, but I can see what you mean. I think one thing we did kind of skip over was the disguise whenever they're trying to leave.
Captain Lumpy Hip.
Yeah, get the lumpy. That was one of the things for me. I was just like, oof, whatever. You know, I got over it really fast, but I was like, someone would notice.
I was watching it and being like, no way. But then you look at the wide shots and the way that he walks and like the speed that it is, I bet you as like a seeing that in passing, your brain wouldn't make the connection right away.
It's totally an Ezra from Rebels move though,
yes,
to do
100%,
that.
100%. just hiding in plain sight. And it's so obvious once you see it. Let's talk about those snow speeders that come in to save the day. I thought that was kind of cool. Like seeing like these people activate on that. Wade's death of Reva throwing the bomb at him.
Man, dude.
That one actually kind of hit. I was like, I don't know this dude, but it really hit.
A Star Wars guy named Wade. That's kind of cool.
I know, right? The actress who plays in the other snow speeder, just her reactions to it. And like,
she's like, well,
when they get back to the ship and tell Roken that Wade's dead, like that one, like that was a hard hitting scene. And Tala like walking off, getting a drink and bringing her back. And she just takes this deep, long swig. Mm-hmm. Like I appreciated that it was characters I don't know about and they made me care about it.
Yeah. One thing that surprised me is Reva talks about how she put a tracker on the ship. I was like, wait, no, she didn't. I didn't see that happen. And then we get that reveal at the end of Lola.
Yeah.
And her eyes, it's eyes turning red. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Let's talk about, before we get that last shot though, the wide shot of Obi-Wan and Leia holding hands and then Tala and I don't know her name, but like consoling each other. And it's like, it's a mixed shot, you know, it's hopeful, but it's sad.
Well, because like everybody has this sense of this is real.
Yeah.
Like this isn't just having a fun adventure. Like people will die.
It's like
there are high stakes.
It's starting to really pick up. So I'm really interested to see what like characters like, I don't need like whole like shows and books about it, but I would like to see what happens to Tala and Roken, see how involved in the rebellion do they get in.
Maybe they show up in Andor.
That'd be cool. Know? That would be really cool. Cause he has to work with like different cells.
What I was talking about, what I was going to bring up earlier, and I figured I'd just wait till now, is do you think we're getting more young Luke at all in this show, or maybe, if they're just done with Tatooine for now?
Maybe
or
in the end. We'll wait till the end. I think we'll go, he'll obviously go back to Tatooine in the end, but I think if anything, we'll maybe get another Owen scene. Probably. I bet you actually is Ben will go see Owen. And we'll like maybe talk to him about be like checking in on him or whatever. And
Luke's going to be there
as they are talking, like Luke runs up and says something and runs off, you know?
Yeah. Because like Luke knows old Ben.
I almost wonder if this is the scene that like he comes up and he's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, this is just old Ben. Like he lives in the area. Leave him alone. He's like, okay, bye. And he runs off, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I could totally, and I could honestly be like, that's the last scene. Like that's the finale scene of the show is kind of, I could see Owen and Ben having like a kind of moment of peace of being like, I don't agree right away, but like now's not the time to really discuss it. And sad enough is that when the time does come, they don't really have a choice to discuss it.
I know. They turn into the McRib.
Kind of
too soon. We have a fast food theme going.
Be like, kind of sucks saying like Owen and Beru in this and knowing that they just, you know, end up crispy fried. But
ooh, the McRib got me.
We got a fast food episode here. I'm hungry.
Yeah, right. I'm hungry too. Man.
Do you have any final thoughts about these next two episodes or any thoughts going into next week's penultimate episode?
I don't know, because I think it all depends when Reva finds them. Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll get a new planet tomorrow? Or not tomorrow.
Next
week. It's Friday. I thought it was like, it's Tuesday. It's not Tuesday.
No.
Do you think we'll get a new planet, or do you think we'll go somewhere we know? Do you think we'll go somewhere that these characters, like, are they going to go back on Tatooine?
I can see them going back to Alderaan.
I kind of thought that too. It'd be an interesting.
Trying to take Leia back home.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe they do take Leia back home, and the last two episodes, they take Kenobi. It ends with them taking him, and it's Kenobi getting back.
Because they don't
Tatooine.
Care about Leia. They just go for Leia because they know Kenobi is going to come after her. But if Kenobi's, you know, how crazy would it be to see Vader confront Bail?
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool. Is that like they know Kenobi's on Alderaan, so Vader pulls up?
Yeah, I truthfully think we might be going to Alderaan.
That'd be actually that's really cool. I think that would be a really neat episode. Let's hope.
Yeah, if not Alderaan, give me a new planet.
I
love seeing these new planets and new locations.
Or get me a planet that we haven't seen in live action.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm trying to think of. Ord Mantell. That's the one off the top of my head. What's the planet they go to in Bad Batch where they steal the Rancor?
Because
it kind of looks like Naboo, but it's not Naboo.
Yeah, it's been a bit for me. I don't remember.
I rewatch Bad Batch. I'm in the mood.
Do it, dude.
What a good show. Anyway.
Final thoughts for me. I thought these two episodes were really good, just like sandwich middle episodes. It's a really good way to take us to the final two. Bring on episode 5 and 6. I think people have complaints about 4, but I think there's going to be a big payoff in 5 and 6. So
I think 4 was a good second piece to 3. I think 3 was really like the big episode.
It's the whimsy episode.
And 4 was, it was fun and it was adventurous. And you guys just hate Star Wars now. Like, just stop watching it.
You guys even like Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think we can get out of you guys' hair now. We will be back, not next week, but the week after to talk about the last two episodes, as well as we'll do a little bit of a series review as well. But as always, if you'd like to find us on the interwebs, you can always do that on Instagram at Through Imperialize Pod, Twitter at Imperialize Pod, and then YouTube over at Through Imperialize Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Quaxon Scaling, Quaxon, and scaling like the triangle. And that's it. Braden, what about you?
As always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter. You can find me on Twitter at Braidathalon, and see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing over on Letterboxd at BLedbetter, and see what I'm doing at my day job of @19 on YouTube. And please don't be shy. Leave that rating, review, subscribe, whatever you gotta do to let us know that you are enjoying or disliking what we are doing over here. Anything helps. That'll be Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, your mom's podcast, whatever. Go over there, leave those reviews. We'll probably be back with a little bit of news next week, and then we'll be talking Kenobi, baby. So we will be talking to you then, and we'll be having a new commentary drop very, very soon. Probably it'll probably be out by the time this comes out too.
You haven't released that already.
It comes out tomorrow. Tomorrow being Saturday, June 11th.
Okay.
So.
When did we record it? Like
about two weeks ago. Yeah,
that's weird.
So, yeah, it'll be out. But until then, we will see you, and may the Force be with you.